I just find it hard when once I've assessed or inventoried, like the author says, and I see, okay, there is this that I do habitually, and it's becoming part of my character to the negative. I can inventory it, and I can see that, and thank God for that, but it's the next step where it's like a brick wall.
That's your opportunity to say the Jesus prayer, do the opposite thing. Initiate an effort to change that habit of the heart. Not out of self-confidence or conviction that I have the strength to be able to change this, but by way of cooperation with God. We don't want to be prideful and feel too much despair over the fact that we do things like that as though they are a revelation to ourselves of what we are really like, because that's not what we are really like. God has created us in such a way that what we are really like is that we are the kinds of beings who cannot be ourselves except by cooperation with Him. So, okay, we've noticed it, we're aware of it, and move in the opposite direction. Being aware that we are not going to have the strength to be able to do it on our own independently.
On reflection, let's add this point. There is something that is similar on this issue of what it takes, having taken an assessment of ourselves and finding our character deficient in some way, finding that we have negative habits of the heart, let's say, rather than positive ones. There is something that is similar between the ancient Greek character building model and the Christian understanding of building our character in Christ, and there is also something that is different. What is similar is that in both cases, we understand ourselves as having the capacity for choice and self-determination. What is different is that on the pre-Christian ancient Greek model, Aristotle and the rest, the assumption is that we have the ability as human beings, ourselves, to do more than just initiate, but to actually accomplish that change. This is, after all, a heroic understanding of the nature of human beings. To a significant degree, the already then ancient model of the Greek warrior that you find in the Iliad and the Odyssey, Achilles and all the rest, remains the model of the Athenian citizen for Aristotle and the others. Only now, that battle is a battle that we fight out partly within ourselves. The Greeks called it the psychomachia, the battle for the soul, the effort to act in accord with the ancient values, to maintain comradeship with the rest of the members of the human community. That's the foundation of civilized life, as far as the ancient Greeks are concerned. You lose that, you lose the ability to even have a civilized life. When Greek Christian monastic writers come along, they will use the same term, psychomachia, the battle for the soul, but they will have a Christian understanding of what's going on in the soul and the particulars about that battle. That's what we'll find in the Ladder of Divine Ascent. Wisdom of that kind, how to fight the battle of the soul, the battle within ourselves. The idea of thinking of oneself as an isolated individual, able to live as a human being ought to live, independent of the rest of society, is just not an ancient idea, absolutely not. In fact, whether we realize it or not, the degree to which we accept the ideal of ourselves as an isolated individual, able to live as a human being ought to live, independent of the rest of the human community, including God Himself, that understanding of who we are and what it is like to be ourselves is going to supply an additional degree of difficulty. The more we are convinced that that's how things are, the more we're going to be locked into our individual self-isolating and self-isolated bondage to whatever it is that we're trying to change, because it's welded to our own self-importance, to the ego that all of us carry around as Americans, and none of us wants to abandon. A variant of Christianity has been developed exactly to serve that egotistical need. And that kind of Christianity will not help us. to repent in the way that we're talking about. In fact, it's even distant from the ancient Greek idea of improving our character by returning to the norm of the human community. It's even different from that. So that could be part of our problem as Americans when it comes to character. Socrates chose death rather than exile for reasons that are very much a matter of the idea that you cannot function as a human being outside of the context of the human community. So they did at least have that going for them. But then on the other hand, on the Christian side, while we do believe we have the ability to choose, repentance depends more on a love of God, which might begin in our spiritual youth with a genuine love of another person, more than the world, more than ourselves as we are separate from God, more than the life of fantasy and living death. If we love that more than God, then we can take an assessment and see our shortcomings and prefer to live as we've always lived, even though we know that it means death, it means being cut off from God, it means being cut off from others. We don't have the strength to turn around and reorient ourselves without God. Now, the only reason we would have not to call on God is that we don't want to repent. We can do the assessment, but when it comes to repentance, we can find ourselves in a situation where we're forced to admit, I really prefer the high opinion of others for acting in a way that is not as I ought to live. I really prefer my love of the world to God. I really prefer the life of living death because I can keep my being the one who's in control and in authority. And at least we have that revealed to us. Maybe we're going to have to go through something, maybe not identical, but similar to what the alcoholic goes through and reach the point that the Protestants talk about, a crisis point, where finally the proud ego is willing to die, where finally we turn around and reorient ourselves toward God. So, okay, now, what is the difference between what we've just said and the Protestant idea of throwing ourselves on the mercy of God? What is different is that what we've just described and can so easily identify with as Christians rooted in the Western experience, what we've just described is going to be necessary if we are going to use our ability of self-determination and repent. Not just on one magnificent occasion when the stakes are our salvation. And once we accomplish this abandonment of ourselves, we are saved. Not just that one unique time, but every time that we want to repent of doing something that is not Christ-like, possibly we will have to go through that kind of turning around by way of this characteristically Western crisis and death of the ego. Because like the alcoholic, the ego, our own experience of what it is to be ourselves independently, and the fantasies that come with that, are our ordinary way of living. It doesn't mean we're addicts, but it means we're in a similar kind of spiritual place. So if we're going to engage in the effort to improve our character in Christ, it may be quite a rocky road. But you know, really, as we get older, the impulse to dramatize our life to this degree, where we experience ourselves as the tragic hero with the world against us, begins to fade. More and more we begin to realize that that is not exactly the way the world really is. At that point, many of us develop a kind of fond nostalgia for our wayward youth. Those were the glory days when we were insane enough to live life to the fullest. But now we've begun, sadly, to mature. Now, instead of being wise enough not to pass on this spiritual infection to our youth, we've developed an entire motion picture industry devoted to the glorification of exactly that kind of ego-based fantasy life. The more links we have with others, the more quickly maturity comes. The more we want to form strong and lasting links with others, the more we're going to see that old way of living as simply unrealistic. It would be a very unusual individual for whom their spiritual life would be that rocky road of radical egoism as they make the effort to live as Christians. A radical egoist who seeks out traditional Christianity is already experiencing a major inner contradiction. Orthodox Christians have the advantage of being members of a real community of others who are our compatriots, our companions, the rest of the members of the church, and including all of the saints. I know as a priest, when things get difficult, one of the things that keeps a priest from giving in is the fact that he experiences very deeply his place in a membership of brother priests and bishops. You would have to abandon your fellows in arms in the midst of the spiritual battle. I mean, that's exactly the sort of thing that keeps soldiers from abandoning their post in the midst of battle. That strength is a terrific strength, because it's not just oneness with them. That oneness with them is also a oneness with God. So after repentance, after turning around, after reorientation toward God, there is a strength that you did not have before in isolation. So all of the rest of us ought to be encouraging anyone who finds that they secretly prefer the life of isolation and a living death to the oneness of communion with one another that is the alternative.